Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
My name is Mackenzie, and I started a GoFundMe for the adoptive mother of a nonverbal autistic child. The mother had lost her job because she wasn't able to find adequate care for this autistic child. So she really needed some help with living expenses, paying some back bills. So I launched a GoFundMe to help support them during this crisis. And we raised about $10,000 within just a couple of months. I think that the surprising thing was by telling a clear story and just like really being very clear about what we needed, we had some really generous donations from people who were really moved by the situation that this family was struggling with.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This podcast is supported by GoFundMe.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, legions, one and all worldwide. From our hearts to your ears, you have joined the What You've Been Watching podcast. I am your host, the marvelous Mike D, joined as always by my co-host, cohort, and youngest brother.
MD3, Marcus Dudley checking in on the YOU. What's going on out there in podcast land? We are broadcasting live from the Think Tank Studios right here in Central Tallahassee, home of where the banana ball players play. All day, all day.
Yeah, I made the mistake of showing the kids the Savannah banana balls.
Oh, yeah.
And now they think that that's how baseball is supposed to be played. And I'm like, I mean, you guys are in for a very boring, rude awakening.
Hey, they at least got the robot umps coming, so
there we go.
Because, yeah, tired of that nonsense. Some dude pulling it straight from the heart of the plate, being like, ball three. You're like, what? It was how the catcher framed it. No, you suck at your job is what's going on here. Anyways. How are you, though, man?
Oh, it's been a trying day today. It's one of those, you know, sometimes you eat the bar, sometimes the bar at you kind of thing.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. So all that being said, this is going to be an abridged version of what you've been watching. Same great flavor, same great takes, just in a smaller can.
I got to go try on nooses later.
Yeah, for real. Before we get too far into it, if you have not already, this is our official first time saying it on the air. Our brackets have been released.
That's right.
For the March non-actionable 64 team bracket buster tournament.
That's right.
I don't even know what we call it anymore. I just know it's non-actionable. You cannot see when we say all those words.
Legally distinct.
Yeah, legally distinct. We are doing the best character introductions in movies of all time.
That's right.
So everyone from T-800.
That's right.
He's all on the way over to Pinky.
Pinky.
And everyone in between, some classics.
That's right.
A lot of
no cameos. That's one of the rules. And there's no let's see. Like you can't have Bruce Wayne show up in the beginning of Batman Begins and then he turns into Batman and count Batman. It's one and the same person.
Yeah. We'll tell you the rules on the day, but yeah, that's kind of what it is. It's like the first time you see Black Panther on screen is incredible. Mm-hmm. That is not the first time you see T'Challa on screen, though. So
right.
Again, the two are different people until they're up on the top of the roof and they unmask and you're like, oh, it's King's, I guess at the time he's Prince T'Challa, but same person.
So. Right, right, right.
As always, there are many, many omissions. There, I'll give you guys a full list of the, well, not a full list, but a pretty good detailed list of a lot of the honorable mentions, a lot of the reasons why people don't make the list, so on and so forth. But yeah, as always, it's a task.
also, we did the work, so shut up, nerds.
I know, right? It's what we want to talk about. Our cousin Devin, the man himself, is going to be joining us for our third. Right. We are super excited for that.
You're talking about last year's previous champion?
Yeah, tie champion, but yeah, yeah. He is a champion, though.
That's
you split
right.
the title. You still got the title.
That's so right.
I won't say too much. But yeah, he's going to be joining us, you know, before he goes on and gets married or whatever.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so we're got him locked in as our third, so Michael and I just don't argue over one another. But I think you guys are going to be in for a treat. This is a real tough bracket to set, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. So if you have not already, the reason I say all that is you can write us in where we're going to ask you to send your submissions for your bracket at whatyabeenwatchingpodcast@gmail.com. Again, send your submissions to whatyabeenwatchingpodcast@gmail.com. Where can they find the actual bracket itself? It is on Facebook, my brother.
They can find that at facebook.com/Dudley Bros Podcast, or I'm sure we'll probably post updates on the Instagram, which is What You Been Watching Podcast.
Just What You Been Watching.
Well, What You Been Watching. And then also they can check out the YouTubes, which, by the way, has been growing exponentially. Thank you guys for that, for spreading the word, which is WBW Podcast.
That's right. A YouTube at WBW Podcast. And yes, I do really appreciate it. We've had a couple I know it's small numbers comparatively, you know, like Mr. Beast has like 10.8 million views on a single thing, but like, hey man, we got over 2,000 on a couple. We've had a consistency and uploads and viewership, so we're taking in the right direction, man.
Hey man, every time we get a new listener or a new member of the Legions, I feel like maybe not Howard Stern, but you know, maybe Howard the Duck. I don't know. Yeah,
because we're a fucking joke. No, I will say this, and I will say this. You can write this down, hold me to it. When we get to 500 subscribers, I am going to do a giveaway. I'm going to randomly poll all 500 subscribers, and I'm going to do a pretty cool giveaway as our token of appreciation.
That's right.
So share all with
butthole
a friend.
Pictures.
Make fake accounts. I don't care how we get there. You just enter your chances. Oh, I got 4 accounts. Cool. Enter them all. I don't
that's
care.
Right.
Subscribe. Whatever.
Right.
Once we get to 500, we're going to do something very cool, because that's a pretty cool milestone for us.
Hit that like button, subscribe, please. Leave a comment, all that good stuff.
If I don't know
anything to help the algorithm.
I don't know what the hype button is, but hype it, I guess, too.
Right, right.
Know, whatever. Whatever. So anyways.
It's just a Jamaican air horn. Like, fling, 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 fling.
You can't do that for me now. No? Yeah, anyways. we have a sound effect button to my right over here. You guys are so lucky I'm not taking the time to program that. I would have the hater SUE alarm right here closest to me. Mr. Michael. Man, I learned last night. It was our dear middle duds who's been on the show, who is the wonderful proprietor of all such banners that you see.
That's
you
right.
Blue check marks. You see that wonderful banner. You know it's done by the great MK Dudley Art. You can find him at wolf.matt.tattoos on
That's
Instagram.
Right.
Shout out to him. Get some shit commissioned. But yeah, for his birthday, and we started going off about something, and somebody else was like, man, you got a hard feelings about that. My dad was like, no, we just have weird hills to die on. So you'll see. Yeah. Anyways, man. Also shout out Mr. A1. So our last shout out, I promise. If you got anything you need music for, custom made, shout out to Mr. A1. Just reach out to him.
He got the beats.
He's got the flavors for you. You can find him at A1Reality.music@gmail.com.
Yes, sir.
The man is a quadruple threat. He has the flavors for you. I do know that. If you want custom music, custom beats, custom anything like that, reach out to him again. A1Reality.music@gmail.com. He's a quadruple threat. You know, the first three. Michael, what else does he do?
I heard he was going to be shrunk down and inserted into somebody's body to help find a mysterious cancer. Like, you ever see that movie Fantastic Voyage?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
What a humanitarian. Shrunk down to help our fellow man. All right. Well, that's enough of that. Again, abridged version today. We are very pressed for time.
That's right. Quickly now. Yeah. There's no time.
Quickly. We'll still try to provide you some quality, but we'll breeze through it. So my brother, the reason people do tune in, tune out, especially after they go fill out their brackets for a chance to win super rad prizes.
That's right.
Again, fill those brackets out. Get them in to whatyabeenwatchingpodcast@gmail.com.
You have until the day the actual bracket episode drops midnight that night.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be the 31st. So just drop it before midnight at 31st, and yeah, yeah, you're good. So anyways, yeah, with that being said, my brother, the people do need to know.
Sir.
What you been watching, man?
My man, I just recently saw Don't Look Up.
Adam McKay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. With Leonardo DiCaprio, Jennifer Lawrence, Meryl Streep's in there. Jonah Hill. Gosh, who else? So many people. I mean, yeah, it's a veritable who's who.
I think Ruffalo's in that too, right? He's in everything, isn't he? I'm thinking of Mickey 17. Never mind.
Yeah, 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 yeah. He's in Mickey 17. Yeah.
Similar roles are played in that movie, though. Yeah.
Kind of. Really, I hate to say heavy-handed, because the movie is not about what it's really about. You know, the essentially the plot is there's a big giant asteroid that's going to hit the planet in like 6 months, and Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence are the two scientists that discover it. And so they basically just go on this tour de force of trying to explain how dangerous this is, and they're coming up against, you know, the president, who's just could not be bothered, because it's an election year. And so, you know, she's like, well, if I tell everybody that the planet's going to die in 6 months, then that's going to ruin my chances for election. So I got to find a way to twist this. And meanwhile, the scientists are like, what do you mean twist this? Like, it's literally a big giant hunk of rock the size of Mount Everest that's going to kill
all of us.
All of us. So what do you mean election? Like, what are you talking about? And it's just their frustration and trying to tell people to, you know, take this seriously. And it's a thinly veiled metaphor for, you know, global warming and the climate crisis and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
I like you said, thinly veiled. Yes. Yes. Yeah. It really, no, it's pretty heavy handed. But anyways, keep going.
Anyway, it's just the desperation of experts trying to relay necessary information to a populace that just has their priorities all up their ass, you know?
What I've seen the movie. It's been a while since I've seen it. But one thing that I liked it. I didn't love the movie, just to be honest with you. But the one thing I did really like was the ongoing frustration of the two scientists, mm-hmm. just being like, we're not doing this for our health, kind of thing. And then the vilification of them, of just like how they started to pick them apart and vilify them. As
right.
If they're
right.
the assholes for right. trying
turning,
to help you.
Turning them into like memes and stuff like that.
Yeah. And just
pitting each other. Like, well, we notice that whenever she speaks, the audience participation drops by like 15 points. But when he speaks, it goes up 20 points. So we're going to talk to him. And she's like, I don't talk to whoever the fuck you want to talk to. But like, just hear what we have to say. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. It's their frustration was what was palpable to me, is what drove that movie in terms, but it did run long. The premise did kind of overstay its welcome.
It was
the fact of like, okay, we could have got this in 90 minutes. I got it. It could have been a short film maybe, but I doubt that, but
yeah.
That's a pretty big insult. I didn't mean it like that, but
no, it definitely, the premise wore very thin and just sort of kept being extended and extended to the point where it was just like, I agree. You could have cut probably about 10 minutes out of that movie and not missed a beat.
And they just politicize everything, which is the point. It's bitingly satirical in the sense of just everything became politicized and like,
right.
it just to the point where you're like, you lose the plot thread so early on that you're like, and what are we talking about again? Oh yeah. A rock falling from the sky. That's going to kill us all. And everyone's like, well, how do we know it's a rock? And like, I'm just asking questions and all that shit goes on. So.
Right. What are your qualifications? Well, we have a scientist over here that says you're completely wrong. And meanwhile, it's like, okay, well, I'm willing to discuss that, but this is a daytime talk show. Like, is this really the time and place to do this? Or, you know,
yeah,
just and Meryl Streep as the president constantly turning things into like, she ends up listening to whatever the Elon Musk stand in or Jeff Bezos stand in is, you know, like, oh, well, actually this rock is probably pretty valuable. We were picking up traces of gold and silver, titanium, silicon. Like, this is all, you know, stuff that we're going to need and they're like, oh, well, how do we now like monetize it? And meanwhile, the scientists are like, it's a big giant rock. It's a big giant. Does nobody understand that when I say big giant rock, I mean big fuck you size giant rock?
Yeah. Coming to destroy us. Yeah.
What are you talking about trying to mine this? What?
It's sad because as over the top as this movie is, it really isn't that far of a stretch.
Oh, yeah.
It is just, I mean, if you compressed you know, I've had people argue with me that like the planet isn't getting warmer. And I said, look, I'm not going to have that argument. I've had other people that go, oh, yeah, the planet is getting warmer. We can argue the means of that all day, but sure. I'm not going to argue that. I was like, okay, thank God we have some common ground. We can argue the cause of that back and forth, but like, let's not. I don't have to be a scientist to know that living in Florida, when I used to go to the beach in April, it was refreshing. Or like August or July, it was refreshing. And now it's like, this water is boiling hot.
Yep.
Like, I don't need to be a scientist. It's not, oh, you remember differently because you're a kid. I'm like, no, this water is boiling hot.
Right. Yeah. And the winters here are getting colder and the summers are getting longer. I mean, it's.
Yeah, hurricanes. Yeah, it's whatever.
Whatever. Yeah, I'm not gonna. Yeah. Anyway, don't look up.
right. Well, it's a great cast. What did you? I know Adam McKay went from making movies.
He did the Hangover movies.
No, I'm sorry. He did the He did Ron Burgundy. He did Talladega Nights. He did Step Brothers. And then he did the other guys. And then he pivoted to do The Big Short, which was like a big jump in terms of he wanted to do that. He did Vice. I think I'm missing one. And then he did Don't Look Up. So it was a big switch in terms of like almost like political comedies to a sense. In terms of The Big Short was about the mortgage crisis and Vice was about Vice President Dick Cheney. It's actually a really, really good movie.
Was that the one that has Christian Bale as?
Yeah.
He's in like all those prosthetics and stuff.
Yeah, okay. Sam Rockwell plays George Bush.
Oh, Sammy rocks.
Yeah, he's more on him later.
I love him.
Yeah. So what did you, and like, do you prefer his newer style of movie or his older style of Will Ferrell? Because apparently they had a bit of a falling out.
I mean, when you bring in, you know, Step Brothers and Talladega Nights, I mean, like, that's incomparable. You're literally comparing, you know, apricots to grapes.
I hear you.
So,
you know my answer. I prefer the old style.
I do as well. Not that his new style isn't also funny. It's a lot more bitingly satirical. Or morbidly cynical.
Yeah. I mean, you know the saying, you scratch at a cynic, you'll find a defeated idealist.
Yeah, right.
If that's not a saying, patent pending.
Right.
That's what I'm going with.
I'm putting it on a bumper sticker.
That was a bar, as the kids say. I think there's some of that, too, and just the fact of it. But I know, like I said, he and Will Ferrell had a bit of a falling out. And I know when Adam McKay addressed it, he kind of said, like, in so many words, he took responsibility for his side of the street, being like, yeah, I fumbled some things. I let my ego get in the way and I messed up that relationship. So it is what it is. I mean, they got hits on their hands, though. So, I mean, I'll take Step Brothers all day.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean,
woke political bullshit.
This wedding is bullshit.
This wedding, I swear, I didn't want salmon. I said it 4 times. Would you want to rate it or any more on it or just heavy handed and
it
runs too long? Great cast.
It is a great cast and it's phenomenally acted. It's very dark. It's very, very dark humor. It's very, very funny, though.
Jonah Hill is a secret weapon, man. He
is so unlikable in this movie. He is like the quintessential douchebag, you know, silver spoon, born and raised, got a job in his mom's political cabinet. And it's, you know, just nepo baby douchebag. And the fact that he gets left behind to die on Earth and his mom doesn't realize until they're like on the rocket and she goes, oh, shit.
Yeah, I forgot about that part. Oh, man. Yeah. I was just saying he's a secret weapon in terms of like his acting ability. He can do a lot. He can comedic timing out the wazoo. Like Martin Scorsese has said incredible things about him. Everyone that's worked with him has been like, that guy can switch gears on you and just commit to shit that with the fake veneers and Wolf of Wall Street. And like he's come a long way, man. He's really flexed his acting and just artistic chops. So I think he was always kind of, I think at one point, and this is just my opinion, he could probably tell me to go fuck myself on this one. I think he kind of was in the not wanting to be typecast as like the schlubby, like funny,
Right.
Like really worked hard to swing the pendulum the other way. But I think it worked to his benefit. And now everybody knows that the dude's got range and it really started with Moneyball being like, oh shit, this guy. And he started directing movies that just indie stuff is just like, yeah, it's the stuff I want
to
make.
So. Yeah. Swinging around to Wolf of Wall Street, getting that nomination and stuff like that. Yeah.
So I think he was nominated for Moneyball as well. So he was earned. So
yeah. But it was boring. But,
yeah, dude. It's like The Big Short. I like that movie. It's I appreciate the premise. I can't follow it at all. Yeah. Even when they dumb it down, I have no idea what's going on. And I'm sure it's masterfully made. If somebody broke down exactly what it was, I'm sure it's masterfully crafted. The Academy probably knows some stuff. But like me as the common viewer, it's even as they're dumbing it down for me, I don't get it.
I don't know an IRA from a hedge fund from a hole in the fucking ground. Yeah, so I mean, that's right. I don't have money. That's all I know.
Yeah.
This movie is not made for poor people.
Dude, at all. So anyways, what do you want to rate? Don't Look Up.
Oh man, I'm going to rate it. Let's see. A thinly veiled warning that probably was still going to go unheeded anyway. So
yeah, it's too late. It's too late. Let's be honest.
Yeah. And, one of the things I found funny was, spoiler alert, at the end of the movie,
yeah, we're spoiling everything.
That's
today.
Fine. That's fine. At the end of the movie, the Jeff Bezos stand-in and Meryl Streep, the president, and a bunch of CEOs and hedge fund managers and politicians and stuff all get on a spaceship to go find a new Earth. But they're so dumb, short-sighted, and greedy that they don't bring any doctors, engineers, laborers, and everybody on the ship is well into their 60s. So there's no chance of like repopulating the species. And like, I thought it was just the perfect little nail on the, or like touch, you know, it was the final little ribbon of like, oh, so they're fucked anyway, because nobody thought, hey, we should probably try to, I don't know, repopulate the species or bring somebody with some actual, you know, manual skills.
Right. Somebody who knows what they're doing.
Right, right. No, no botanists, no engineers, no ditch diggers. Just, oh yeah, this dude runs, you know, he owns all of NASCAR. Woo. That's going to come in handy on this all new utopia.
And I mean, people forget that if every member of your, or if every employee of your business quits, all you have is a good idea and a name.
That's it.
Excuse me, doggy style. Anyways, I got a little cough today. It won't go away, so we're not going to cut around all of it. We'll try our best.
That's right. I mean, yeah, essentially, if every one of your employees leaves, you're still sitting on, what, $1 billion in the bank account anyway, so.
Yeah, but you're not, you're done. So, yeah, I like the fact that they forgot that idea. And just, yeah. It just shows, yeah, that was a nice touch. I forgot all about that, to be honest with you. All right, my brother. Well, my second question in this rapid fire edition.
Yes, sir.
What else have you been watching, man?
After that, I watched the new Cat Williams stand-up, The Last Report.
I have not seen it. I've seen some clips on the social medias, and with the clips I've seen are very funny. I did watch some old Cat Williams, which I want to talk to you about, though.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, so anyways, go ahead.
I mean, he strikes gold again. I think he's just as funny and brilliant as ever. He found the formula that works for him, and it's a really, really good use of, I hate to say mixed media, but like he incorporates dance breaks and music cues and, you know, visual imagery and stuff like that to, you know, throughout the set. It's not just him going up and telling set up punchline. He actually kind of weaves a common thread throughout all the different jokes.
See, he's been doing that. In his second special, he did I guess it was technically his third, but he did the hustling, and he came out to that, and he was talking to the DJ. He was like, that's my shit.
That's right. He's
like,
turn it off. I can't.
Don't you play that one more time. But you imagine you'd be working at McDonald's, hustling. He starts shaking the fryers. And said, Cat's one of one, man.
Yeah,
he's one of one. So what'd you think, though, in terms of, I know this one, the whole premise is that the little clip I saw, it was like, I'm gonna do a bad Cat Williams impression.
Do it.
He's like, now I go to the Illuminati and I learn some shit, and then I turn around and I tell y'all, and it's gonna be the last report because I think they're catching on to what I'm doing. Yeah,
pretty much.
I run, I get the information, and I come back to y'all. And that was a pretty bad Cat Williams, but I can work on it and do better.
That's all right.
We'll get there.
Not that bad.
Yeah. Now, if you want to talk a pimp named Slickback, a 23.
That's right. Where are your bitch, Tom?
Dude,
I know where my bitch is at.
This is Cat Williams is so funny that when they did the Boondocks, the voice I guess the talent director or whatever, the voice
Andrea
director,
Romano.
Andrea Romano, shout out to her, Wall of Famer. She was saying that the one person she would want to have a spinoff was Cat Williams. And she said he just fully understood the character in terms of like, and Cat talks a lot of shit. He usually does back it though, but he's like, I make a character that nobody else can do. And like the way that he was counting down for his hoe to get in the car, it got higher and higher. He's like, 10, 9, 8. He just kept going up and up. 3, 2, 1, bitch, I'm leaving. It's just the way, 9. It's like his performance. Yeah, anyways, Cat is one of one, man. And I'm so glad he's crossed over because it used to be, yeah, I'm just not fucking, he's a predominantly black comic. And
right,
he used to do BET as Cat in the Hat until they got a cease and desist. And Michael and I stayed up late and used to watch Comic View.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Because there wasn't shit else on.
That's right. Insomniacs.
Yeah, I know. But yeah. No, but I'm glad he crossed over because like his first one, the first one it ever got.
The Pimp Chronicles?
The Pimp Chronicles is the first one I saw, but I also bought a DVD. I bought two DVDs. It was the one of him in the white hat when he was in Cleveland. And he was talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Son, he was talking about his son wanted an Xbox. And he's like, now that Xbox is $199.99 and your daddy can do this for you all day, every day. Because we got money like
but
that.
But we got one controller and it comes with no games, means we got to spend money on the games. And if I'm going to play with you, I'm going to have to get myself a controller. Or we can get this Nintendo Entertainment System. So I come with 40 games. They all been pre-played. So we know they good. Comes with four controllers.
He's talking about, or I can get a newspaper and for $30, I can get you a Nintendo 64. He's an, I'm going to let you make a pimp decision, son. It is, yeah,
he said, we can get 40 games, daddy. We can do this all day.
He said, and your daddy could do this for you all day, every day. He said, we could ride around getting 6-piece McNuggets from McDonald's and throwing 3 out because we got money like that. Like, he was like, he found his rhythm and just like was a skyrocket to success. No, man. So that's what I was like. This dude's 101. But anyways, the last report. We got sidetracked with our love for Cat
Williams. Pretty much just, I mean, it's him talking about all the, you know, recent ways that Hollywood has been exposed to being like a dark, seedy underbelly, and it's a really fucked up town, and there's some really weird, perverse people, and it's basically just him being like, now, I always suspected I was never privy to these, to a Diddy party, but I had heard, don't go to a Diddy party.
Yeah. It's funny because he's one of those type of people where it's not even a joke, but him just saying it in the cadence he does is just funny.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's got his, I mean, nobody sounds like Cat Williams, you know? Like, it's impossible for another comedian to be confused with, I wonder if this is Cat Williams. No, it's Cat Williams.
Yeah. And like I said, he's crossed over so much now, man. He's like a mainstream comedian in all worlds, white, black, you know, like he's crossed over to every, he does arenas like it.
Yeah.
He sells them out, and believe me, there's a mixed crowd when you go. Very diverse crowd, so I love me some Cat. Anyways, without doing the punchlines and stuff, where does this rank amongst his work? Is he just more of his, because his newer stuff is a bit different than his older stuff, but it is all very good still.
Well, his new stuff, again, tends to focus more on fame, celebrity, sort of the struggles of making it in Hollywood. His older stuff tended to focus a lot more on like the minutia of the day, or sort of, you know, like
being a pimp
or you know, social commentary kind of thing. So I think this one's a little bit more directed, maybe not as generally, I hate to say acceptable, but you know what I mean? Like it's not going to appeal to a more massive or a wider audience. This one is a little bit more selective in its audience participation.
Okay.
Because, that makes sense?
No, it does. I like the fact that he has the courage to do that too. And he's known for doing like his entire special that you see on Netflix, like one show.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, we're recording tonight. And that's how he does it. And it's like, when he did the one at Atlanta, the Pimp Chronicles, everyone's like, don't you want to shoot again? He's like, nah, I got it.
Yeah. Yeah,
like it's such a baller move.
Yeah, one take, dude.
But like he did the one, and a lot of comedians gave him shit, and he was really one way or the other when he did. I think it was called The Great American Something or whatever. When he did the jokes about Jacksonville, and the first like third of his set or quarter of his set just making jokes about
beautiful,
Jacksonville.
Dirty ass, rundown, ragtag, not beautiful in, motherfucking
Jacksonville.
That's right.
And so many people were like,
"This is a place that should not exist. You should not be here."
And there were so many comedians that were like, Yeah, I didn't really like that. And other comedians were like, do you understand how brave that is to do for go on for 20 on a national? Like the stuff that usually gets cut and Kat's like, no, these jokes are too good. They're staying in.
That's right.
Like, I love that. That was my favorite segment. I'm just going on and on and on talking shit, but also lovingly about Jacksonville. So yeah, he's the man.
Yeah.
Got mad love for Kat.
Yeah. Again, it's more of the same, and I mean that in the best possible way.
Yeah,
I mean, it's he hasn't lost his stride. He hasn't lost his rhythm. It's still just as good as anything else he's put out. Again, I think this one's probably a little bit more targeted in its ire, but
there's it was weird when like Pimp Chronicles came out. I think it hit HBO or whatever, and like typically, you know how we've always been. We're quick to put somebody on something. Not saying sure. Like, oh, I was the first to hear about Kat. I know we were pretty early on, but like, as I was telling people about Kat, people were trying to tell me about Kat. Like, it had legs way beyond me. It was like, oh, this dude made a splash, like for real. So it was, and again, there was people we were putting him on. Like, okay, well, you like this? Watch the early one too. You know, whatever. But like, it was coming back as quick as we were. Mm-hmm. Like, he was just. It's like, man, this. It's not even like a secret you can keep in your pocket for long. It was like you might get that one person.
And I think a lot of that also had to do with the crowd that we were hanging out with. In a very similar fashion, you could say like when we discovered Kung Fu, all of our friends discovered Kung Fu movies and kind of, so it was very.
Not as much mine, but yeah.
But you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like it was a self-feeding cycle in terms of like you put your friends onto something, then they find something and put you onto something and.
Yeah, like Ong Bak was the one movie, like we caught it in theaters and we were like, we bought like two DVDs. And the rule was like when somebody asks you about it or you put it on somebody, like just give them the DVD. And like when you're done with this, pass it forward.
Right.
And like Ong Bak got a lot of traction that way.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Anyways, yeah. But Kat Williams, he was too big for us to do said thing. So no one can take ownership of Kat. So. Well, that's good, man. I'm glad my guy's still firing on all the cylinders.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Anything you learned about the last report we need to be concerned about from Kat?
He is generally concerned that he's going to be assassinated by the Illuminati, but
yeah. 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 The little bit I saw, he was jumping around. It's like, oh, I'm going to say it quick. I'm going to move around.
It's for my own security.
Yeah. Again, I can't do the joke, but he says it. It's funny. I say the words. It's not funny.
Right.
Kat does it. You're like, I don't know if you're trying to be funny, but you're funny. Button.
That's right. Let's see. I'm going to go ahead and rate that one fly ass pair of shoes, but they always make basketball shoes for like big motherfuckers. And so like he has way too much lace hanging out.
Nice work.
Anywho's, that's about all I got on that, man. Do you guys want to go take a quick commercial break?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Who's our sponsor today?
Zero Sugar Sodas. As I suffer and succotash that into the mic. Zero Sugar Sodas.
Zero Sugar Sodas.
Zero Sugar Sodas. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tell you about them. Enjoy your break.
Sugar sodas. If there's zero sugar, then why do I still have the diabetes?
Pretty sure there's sugar in those sodas.
Perhaps I should stop drinking them through a Twizzler.
There definitely is something. They're like, oh, we removed the sugar, but we replace it with this other carcinogen.
That's right.
Wait. That's not how we treat sponsors. Zero sugar sodas. Absolutely great for you. Buy a bunch today.
Wait. That's not how we treat paying sponsors.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my bad.
This is just free advertisement.
No, they're real sponsors. I still have a check from Big Sandwich.
I forgot about the big sandwich joke.
Dude, when you hit me with a big sandwich joke, it's big tobacco, but big sandwich. Oh, damn. Anyways.
Shit, that makes us laugh.
Yeah. Anyways, while you're sitting here recollecting yourself, you should go find your bracket, fill it out, and send your bracket of the best character intros of all time to whatchabeenwatchinpodcast@gmail.com.
That's right. That's right. Get yourself a fabulous prize pack from your boys.
Yeah, Michael has made the cut in terms of being part of the rad committee. It was a one-man operation because I wasn't sure. But he earned it.
Good.
Yeah. So he's in. He's in. So yeah, we'll get you guys
Trials and tribulations.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Anyways, yeah, where were we?
Oh, sir, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
What you been watching, my brother?
Oh, man, I've been sitting on this one for a while. I'm going to fly through it.
Had it in your back pocket?
Yeah, I should talk about it before I forget again. I watched Tron Ares.
Okay.
I'm not going to spend a bunch of time on it. It's just dull. Honest to God, like, it was spoiling it and everything. Like, Jared Leto plays a machine who doesn't understand emotion or anything like that. And so that's your lead.
No, but who does he play?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's your lead. So you're like, okay, I have no highs. No, oh, I'm coming to understand that. It's like, so that's your lead for 2 hours. One, it's just boring. And two, like, all the cool stuff that you see happen in the trailer, mm-hmm. that's all the cool stuff. There may be like one or two other scenes, but like that.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. It's like corporate. Oh, we got to build our AI before they build their AI and upload to the Tron, to the grid. And then when you're in the, like, I don't really understand of it. There's some cool sequences. It's very pretty to look at. The Nine Inch Nails soundtrack is really cool.
Of course.
I don't know if it, and I'm not, it's different music. And in no way is this bad. I liked the one for the Tron Legacy.
Oh, with Daft Punk.
I like that better, but there's nothing wrong with this one. That movie's also a little bit better. That movie's still not that great, in my opinion.
Okay, right. Like, problematic at best, yeah.
Yeah, this movie is just kind of, it's just...
Okay.
This is dull the whole way through, and then you're done at the end, and you're like, okay.
So a $300 million wet fart, kind of?
Pretty much, and they set it up for a potential sequel, which I'd be surprised if it, but it lost a lot.
I think they've already said that they're not going to pursue this franchise any further.
Like, once every 20 years, they're like, hey, you know what we're sitting on? Tron, let's bring that back. So, yeah, I don't know, man. If you're a Nine Inch Nails fan, you really only hear, I mean, the score's really cool, but you don't, I feel like I didn't, like, hear a bunch of new stuff. Just like, with a bunch of stuff flying through the sky.
Industrial tones.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is cool. That's Nine Inch Nails. But
Yeah. For sure. For sure.
Yeah. So I'd say I'd see it on a loud theater if you can.
Okay.
But yeah, it was pretty dull. Like, by the end, I'm like, I don't care.
There's no fucks given, huh?
Yeah. Like, oh, the Tron is coming to Tron the Tron. And I'm like, oh, if we get the discs with the Tron and then upload the Tron into the Tron stream, then we can undo the upcoming war of the Tron. And like, your main protagonist is somebody who, like, for the majority of the movie can't die, or like if he does, they kind of change there's a point where it does flip, but at first it's like if he dies, he just respawns and then he like breaks out again. It's like, all right, I'm back.
Well, that makes for an interesting character and high stakes.
Yeah. So, I didn't enjoy it. I did not enjoy that even in the 80s. Anyway,
so what are you going to rate it? What if it was Tron in Tron?
Yeah, dude, if it was Peltron in Tron, then you could have carried it.
Look how Tron is living in the computer city.
See how Tron is living in the grid city.
Circuit city.
Did you buy that data? Is that your data? No, I bought that data straight cash. Anyways, got enough data to last me and my family the rest of our lives.
That's right. Drip, drip, drip. Terabytes of information.
I'm at Tron the Chappelle Show. My dear friend.
Get on my light cycle, baby.
His password to everything was Tron. I was like, yeah, what's your computer lock tree? He's like, Tron. It's like everything. So anyways, yeah, it was just wet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's my password. Right. Now I got to change it.
Anyways, yeah, I'll give it a wet, dull Tron. All right, what else did I watch?
Kind of thing. Let's see. What about?
All right, one I do want to spend a little bit more time on, because I talked about it in the YouTube short. I did watch Luc Besson's Dracula.
How
I loved it.
Was that? Because I'm moderately intrigued. I mean, I love Luc Besson. I don't, him taking on Dracula is a weird spin for me. Like, it just unexpected.
Luc Besson, and I say this with due respect to a lot of the movies of his that I do like, he's a bit of a weirdo. And I mean, he has some themes that are problematic, especially with today's climate in terms of the hunt for PDFs. I know in French, I'm not giving him a full break, but like, I know in one point at France, they caught on a lot later in terms of being able to court young women was not nearly as like frowned upon for way longer than it should have been in France.
Sure, right.
That's not necessarily not
heaven, thank heaven for little girls.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's some of that thematically in the fact of this dude's an immortal and he's like waiting on someone that's like 400 years, you know, he's okay. 400 years old. She's an adult in this one, but this movie, all right.
I just pictured Dracula like, she's almost 18. 20 more minutes.
I've waited through oceans of time. Yeah, anyway, we're going to step off of that. But yeah.
Hurry the fuck up.
There's a lot to like about this movie, and for the purists, there's a lot to dislike. I would be interesting to see your take. Matthew doesn't want to see it because he doesn't want to support Luc Besson. I get that.
Sure.
Even like Leon the Professional, thank God. You know what I mean? Like Jean Reno chose to play him as a nitwit.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that movie could have been
very simple minded. Yeah.
That could have been very problematic if Luc Besson had his way with that movie.
Right.
But so it focuses on the love tale. I think the most recent Robert Eggers film, Nosferatu, really focused on the horror aspect of it.
Okay. Still have not seen yet. Way on my list, but I need to.
That is one of the best horror adaptations of it, right?
Awesome.
This, if you just like the love story, is really good in the fact of what motivates Dracula is this one thing.
Okay.
The other, Bram Stoker, the one that, God, what's his name?
Keanu Reeves and...
Well, no, the director, Francis Ford Coppola.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the one that he did blends the two. Even that movie, as much as we absolutely love that movie,
it
still has problems, you know, tonally, whatever. But
what, you don't appreciate Winona Ryder's accent in that movie?
No, I will never say anything ill about the actors. But this one, like I said, it focuses is really.
Shall I call my husband?
No, anyway, we're not just going to do shitty. No, this, like I said, it does focus on the love aspect. That is the primary thing. It does take some liberties that are going to kind of be like, what? And I'm going to spoil the movie. If
sure,
you want to go see it, go see it by the time.
Hold on, wait. Welcome back.
I would say the movie is good, not great. The thing is, I do enjoy it. And what I said on the short is true. I love the story of Dracula.
Sure.
And one thing that I was saying simultaneously when I first saw that movie, it was right before Forgetting Sarah Marshall came out. And in that, he focuses on the fact that, like, no, Dracula is just a man that's in love. And I liked the love aspect story of it. So when he said that, articulated that, I was like, oh, that's why I like this story so much. Thank you, Jason Segel, for... Because that's
pointing
how
something
I felt.
Right.
But I just couldn't really like.
Did you just say what I was trying to say, but smarter?
Yeah, he really articulated it in a way that I appreciated. And so I like it. And so, like I said in the short, if you serve me cheesecake and it hits the basic tenets of cheesecake, I'm going to like it every time. It might not be the best cheesecake I've had.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. It was good, though.
Right.
So I would say this movie is good. There does some weird things, man. Instead of him having like the hypnotic like ability over women, he takes this time to like go across the globe and like perfect this cologne or like this aroma that like makes women like fall in love with them.
Like a love potion number 9 kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of thing. And like he spritzes it and everyone's like, oh my God, Dracula. And like, and it leads to almost like they show a montage of him like walking through high society. Cause he said, I couldn't find, and his reasoning behind it was I was wasting too much time trying to find my dear Elisabetta with me trying to find him. I needed to find something that was going to bring the women to me. Right.
Gotcha. And
so
gotcha.
Like the reasoning is sound, but the way they go about it is kind of weird. So he just walks through high society, just like literally just pulling like
a new scent from Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah.
GHB.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Rufalin. Yeah. And so it's kind of weird. And so in that montage, they kind of like, they're dancing in a hall and then it almost does like a thriller-esque like love potion. It doesn't linger too long, but it's just enough to be like, did I just watch a choreographed dance over like a love potion? Like, it's a weird tonal thing.
Okay.
And like, instead of the brides, he has these like animated gargoyles, which at first weren't really problematic. I'm like, okay, that's different.
Animated like The Hunchback of Notre Dame, Disney style?
Yeah, or like Beauty and the Beast, kind of.
Really?
Which is...
That's a weird spin.
Yeah, so the brides weren't there. I don't understand the rules of sunlight on vampires in this movie at all. At all. They say one thing, and then it happens four different... Like, not direct, because that burns them up. And then, like, later the chick's just, like, outside in the sun. I'm like, I don't know.
She's in a tanning bed.
Yeah, I don't understand the rules of sunlight in this movie whatsoever. But either I was going to say, so like the pheromone thing was weird. I can kind of get on board with that. The gargoyle thing was kind of weird. It was like, okay, that's a choice or whatever. Instead of like bringing people in, it really showed his death, like how lonely he was. Mm-hmm. Right. And mm-hmm. So I didn't mind that in the sense of like, he didn't want like these bride prisoners that he doesn't love that he just keeps around with, but they do play a major role in the like Jonathan Harkness tale. The brides typically do, but in this one, it's just like he just got captured by some animated gargoyles, which was fine. And then till the end, they storm the castle and they're like trained in martial arts. You see them doing like Huracan Rana.
Wait, what?
Stuff. Yeah, yeah.
The gargoyles are luchadors?
Yeah, yeah, they like Huracan Rana people and stuff, and they're like pushing pots over on their heads and stuff. And you're like, okay. It was a little much.
We've analyzed every single moment of Three Ninjas. We know how to fight.
Exactly. We should run. We should hide. We should kick their butts. And so there's weird things tonally that you're like, really? Okay. Okay.
All right. Okay.
But the actor, oh my gosh. God, I forget his name. He's got three names.
Josh Duhamel.
No, it's not.
Francis Scott Key.
Caleb Landry Jones.
Got
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. No, he does. To me, I had no problem with him. And again, I'm not trying to just repeat what I said in the short. There is some Diet Gary Oldman, but this feels like a remake of the Francis Ford Coppola movie more than it does the actual book.
Okay.
And I haven't read the book, at least not the full, like I told you guys before, I've read like a sixth grader version of it.
Right,
like,
right, right.
Yeah. So
it's a good book. I like Frankenstein a lot more, just not to, you know, pick a camp, but like,
I did read Frankenstein. I always joke, I don't read anything, but I actually have read Frankenstein.
Yeah.
I like that one. So yeah, I mean, there's things in it that people are just going to go, really, what the fuck, man? Okay. In this one, Elisabetta, Mina actually is a reincarnation of Elisabetta.
Who plays her? It's,
golly,
not Mia Goth.
No. I think it's like Chloe Blue or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Either way. And she like, everyone is
that, is she related to Bonnie Blue?
Cordon Blue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Blue cheese.
No, that's different blue.
Okay. Yeah. Of the blue cheese family.
Yeah. But Cordon Philadelphia. Blue, yes. Yes. yeah. The Cordon Blue Institute. No, but she like, everyone does fine with their parts, but the idea that in the other one, it was kind of like an implication of Mina being Elisabetta, being like, the soul has arrived again. This one, it's like, he even says before he goes out on his quest, like, and he comes back and Elisabetta's dead. He's like, I've heard of pure souls being reincarnated.
Okay.
And they just kind of like, they don't really
say anything. It's a way to shoehorn into like, gives him a reason to tear to be, or MacGuffin to follow in terms of like, I just need to exist long enough to finally have her be reincarnated and be reunited with her kind of thing.
Yeah. And so in that, it does take the punch out of like, he is angry at God, but he's like, you're not getting me yet kind of thing.
Okay. Okay.
And so Francis Ford Coppola one, Bram Stoker's, he has a vengeance against God. And that's the big turning point.
Oh, he literally stabs a crucifix through, you know, I renounce thee and you know, the cup of your blood is now my life and all that good shit.
Yeah. And so, and there is a touch of that, but this guy seems more like, it really is a means to an end to see Elisabetta again. And so I liked it. If I had to, like, I don't want to use a number system and break our whole thing, but like,
don't do it.
Yeah,
don't
I won't do it. But I would say it's a good movie. If somebody's like, I thought it was dumb, I could see that too.
Sure, sure.
But I like the love story of Dracula. They focus on the love story of Dracula.
Cool.
Like, you take my money. So
it hit a particular vein, would you say?
Yes, yes. Well done, sir. Well done, sir. And the costumes are pretty cool. They do some weird green screen things. Here's a little trick of the trade. Sometimes it's glaringly obvious. If somebody's standing on the side of a cliff and they're shooting a wedding,
yeah,
like, that's a green screen.
Right,
right. Right, you know what I mean? Right, like, right. And then other times, if you see someone doing a long walk and the background is stagnant, they love to do long walks on green screen, just like over a bridge or something like that, because then you can get like this giant shot of like, oh, this, it shows scale of a castle, and it's not. It's just some dude walking over a couple bricks and the rest is all green screen.
Right, 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 right.
So they do that
it's
a lot.
Parlor tricks. It's, yeah. You know.
And so when you're smart to pick up on it, you're kind of like, okay, but
It's a little overused in this one?
A little bit. A little bit. But okay. Hey, whatever. I don't really hate on filmmakers trying to get their film to come on time, on budget. You know what I mean? If that's something you got to do to like, hey, we're going to sacrifice. It's going to look a little wonkier with the CGI, but with the story, we stand behind it.
Sure. I just always appreciated practical effects more than any. I mean, like, not to say that digital effects are easy, but it's a convenient route. You know what I mean? I hate to say it doesn't require as much work, but it's
more
labor intensive as practical effects.
I know what you're saying with that. I don't know if you're saying it correctly because I appreciate you trying to not say, oh, it's not as hard or it's
right.
Not,
I couldn't do it. So I appreciate, especially when it looks really good, but also
the trial and error is faster to go through when you're like, oh, you build an entire thing and then the blood packet, you're like, oh, I want more blood. And you're like, okay, back to the drawing board.
Right.
You do. Now, you know, the formula, but then you got to like, okay, more blood here. So, I mean, I get what you're saying though, but, there's enough of it though. I genuinely like it. He does take over, like, his transformation from old ass Dracula to new Dracula, you know, handsome Dracula. He's very debonair. Again, Caleb Andrew Jones was fine. I didn't bump into any of the performances being like, sure, that was fucking whack. They don't name, Christoph Waltz Von Helsing, but he's just like, I come from an order that's been hunting them.
Okay. Okay.
And
I do love me some Christoph Waltz,
man. He's a stealer, man. Yeah. He's good in everything.
Speaking of which.
Yeah. Go fill out your brackets. And just real quick, I'm spoiling the movie. His big thing at the end, he does kind of like convince Dracula to like let him kill him. There's real no struggle. He's just kind of like,
Hey, come on, man.
But his thing is, he doesn't want to persecute the vampire. He's like, he's not here. And it's going to turn some people off because he's not angry. He's like, oh, you demon spawn from hell. He's offering him salvation. He's like, if it's on your terms, you can make right with Christ. And he's like, oh, are you here to kill me? He's like, no, I'm here to save you.
Okay.
Actually. And so that's an interesting pivot in the relationship. So there are things that, while some people are just going to, what? Really? I want him to hate and if I see Van Helsing, I swear to the Lord, I'll slay him. Blood shall run down my mantle when his head is decapitated. Anyways, but. So there's a couple interesting pivots that I liked. I didn't really, like I said, rub up against. I enjoyed it. Good movie. Not great, but enjoyable. So I will rate it.
Romance of the Century?
I will rate it an unnecessary pheromone thriller dance.
Okay.
It's just a vampire dance. Yeah, anyways.
That's I'm gonna all suck we can your do. Blood and then I'm gonna something else and then we get up.
Before we get sued.
Legally distinct.
All right. All right. Any other questions you got for me?
What else you been watching, brother? After that, we went from Tron to Vampire.
Okay. This next movie is, it's a doozy, man.
Okay.
I saw, and I'm going to try to say the name correctly, Nirvana.
Okay.
The band.
Okay.
The show.
Okay.
The movie.
Okay.
And here's the review. All right.
Now, is this about the band Nirvana, like Kurt Cobain and
not at
Chris
all.
Novoselic? Oh, okay.
Not at all.
Wow. I think Geffen Records going to sue somebody.
Yeah. anyways, this movie is a magic trick. The best way I can describe it is that it is a magic trick that fumbles along the way, but in the end is like, ta-da. And the magic trick was like, oh, wait. I liked the trick.
Okay. That's an interesting analogy.
I don't know, but I think somebody said something about a magic trick on one of the reviews I read. They didn't describe it like that, but I was like, it kind of is, but it's not as like.
So the magic trick, he kind of bumbles it midway through the trick, but the trick still ends up working, I guess.
And it's very impressive.
Okay.
There's two parts in this movie that are laugh out loud funny, right?
Okay.
But the thing about this movie that's got me messed up is I've thought about it a lot since I watched it.
So what's the premise? What's the basic elevator pitch?
Just real quick, just backstory of the movie before I give you the elevator pitch, because the elevator pitch is
okay, quick. Very quick.
It was a web series that these guys did in Toronto, Canada.
Okay.
Right? Jay and Matt. And it took off and it got a lot of traction. They then got a show on Viceland or Vice or whatever it was called.
Okay.
And it lasted two seasons and it was called, at first the web series was just called Nirvana the Band.
Okay.
Spelled with two N's. Two N's. N-N-A.
I was going to say, yeah. Okay, right.
So three N's total. Yeah, sorry. I screwed that up. My math was mathing, but I couldn't explain it.
No,
so it was Nirvana the Band was the web series. And then when they got the TV show on Vice, it was Nirvana the Band the show. And now it's Nirvana the Band
the show, the movie. Gotcha.
The same director of Blackberry, and he's done some other like low key stuff.
Wait, the one with Glenn Howerton?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, which now I want to watch this movie. I've done my research since then and watched interviews and the way this guy processes stuff. Again, more on in a little bit. So that's how it started. And the elevator pitch is ultimately Back to the Future.
Okay.
They rip it off, literally. They show scenes from it, build a flux capacitor, everything. Okay. These guys' whole thing, their whole premise in like the web series and the TV show is that these are two guys that are stuck in the late 90s and early 2000s.
Okay.
And they just won't. And their big thing is, it's almost like an episode of Tenacious D of like, how are we going to pay the rent this week? Right. And they ask the team or, you know, what we or like Pinky in the Brain, you know what we must do? Try to take over the world.
Same thing we do every night, Pinky.
Yeah. Matt runs down with a harebrained scheme and he flips down the whiteboard and he starts writing a scheme to, they want to play a venue in Toronto called the Rivoli.
Okay.
And every episode is based on, cause they believe if they just book the show,
then everything's going to fall in place.
Right. They rarely show them practice.
Of course.
The one guy, Jay, is, and I mean, you can tell just not even the character, like the guy is a wizard on a piano.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
But their whole thing is they figured out the right to use, right? And right to use, what that is, and I'm going to do a bad job of describing it. If you're interested, just Google Nirvana, the band, right to use on YouTube, and they break down all of it. First off, have a good lawyer, right? That's the one thing. But if you write something in your script that is so prevalent that motivates your characters that it is exactly as it is in the movie. Like if you are inspired by the movie Back to the Future to do Back to the Future stuff, you are then allowed to not only rip off Back to the Future, but play clips from the movie without having to pay a dime.
Really?
And so these guys have been doing this on the web series and the TV show and now the movie. Forever.
Okay.
They'll just be like, oh, we're going to do a GoldenEye speedrun thing. And they can just play clips from GoldenEye because it's so integral to the part that it can't be anything else but GoldenEye.
Got you.
Them playing GoldenEye.
Does that somehow fall under like parody law or something like that?
Yes, probably whatever the satire laws are, but it's called right to use. And South Park does it a lot too.
We need a good bird lawyer.
Yeah, dude. It's
I'm trying Devin, to tell you. Come on.
I know, right?
Get into bird law.
I know, right? So that's part of the magic trick is you're like, how do these guys do this? Because they literally build they have to get up to 88 kilometers, like the whole thing.
Okay.
The whole thing works just like the DeLorean, right?
Okay, right.
And so what they do is I'm going to spare you all the details of the time travel movie, but even when they were writing the movie, it wasn't going to be a time travel movie. They just pivoted at the last minute and were like, oh, we could do a time travel movie and it works better, right?
So what I'm hearing is if we wanted to make a Highlander movie, all we got to do is just come up with two side characters that are so influenced by Highlander that we could just show Highlander clips.
Pretty much.
Marcus, I have a script for you.
Dude.
I've ever wanted.
I'm for it. Let's go.
I'm going to need two big ass swords.
One big ass dude named the Kurgan.
That's right.
But no, it's...
We should get Glenn to play that. He'll play the Kurgan.
Dude, he rock as the Kurgan. But anyways, no, these two guys, the more I like kind of went in the rabbit hole of like Nirvana, the band, I'm wildly impressed by these guys. Like, I am a fan of them as just filmmakers. Like this is... And they do things that are... there is a plot that goes throughout. However, part of it is also much like Impractical Jokers or like Borat or like Jackass. There are quasi like stunts.
We have key points we need to hit, but it's mostly improvisational.
Yes. And they have stunts that they do or whatever. Or like it's things that are going to interact with the audience. And they... Some of the like the way that the entire plot will pivot just based off what some random guy says. Right?
Okay.
And so like, for example, they want to skydive off the giant tower in the CE tower, I think it's called,
or the Toronto Needle or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. And they want to early in
a Canadian dock.
Yeah, they want to skydive into the baseball field below. And so they go to a hardware store to buy clippers that are going to clip through it. And the guy's like, hey, look, man, I don't care what you do with it. I'm a libertarian. As long as what you're doing doesn't interfere with the fun of others, I don't care. And like, that was the whole pivot point. So then they actually snuck these things in there and clipped off their tracks because you go skywalking along this.
Right. Okay.
They clip it off and skydive off. And everyone's like, what the fuck?
And so, like, as a legit thing?
Legit thing.
Okay.
And so most of their filming is illegal. I can tell you that outright. And they've said it in the show where you are not allowed to film on the railroad, like the subway station in Toronto. If you go on the tracks, you will be kicked off and arrested. And they just go down there and they just do it really fast. And then they're like, oh, sorry. And then they just run off. And then they get they broke shit in a museum where producers came in slowly and set up the set. And this is in the show, not in the movie. They would come and set up stuff slowly, like one at a time, just for one shot for them to break something.
Nice.
And the guy was like, how do I get this out of here? And in the show, just some random guy was like, why don't you use your phone? Because they needed to steal a map. They ripped off Indiana Jones entirely. Like the John Williams score and everything in the TV.
Really? Yeah,
these guys, I'm telling you, it's a magic trick. And by the end, you're like, I've seen everything of that done before, but not like that.
That's interesting. That's funny.
And so the guy says,
why? It's like guerrilla style filmmaking. Yep. Okay. Yep.
And the guy says, why don't you use your phone? He means it. Why don't you use your phone to take a picture of the map? The guy goes, okay. Smashes the glass with his phone. And it's like all things like that these guys are so quick on their feet. They can break the fourth wall. The only other character they know is with them is
the cameraman.
Yeah. So they address him directly, but they're really addressing the audience. And these guys have been shooting this show for over 20 years. The editor, whoever edited this movie, I say this heart of hearts, deserves an Oscar nomination for best editing.
Wow, okay.
Because they do a simple thing where they travel back in time and they make a joke about, you can't walk around with that high definition camera. They're going to think you're in the Matrix or something. And he's right. Much funnier than I am about his delivery.
Sure, sure.
So they start using the same cameras that they shot 20 years ago.
Oh,
so
the like Sony Handycams and stuff?
So then okay. They can intersplice the footage, the new and old footage, seamlessly.
Nice.
And so when you think about this whole movie, about how wild and impromptu and improvisational it is, mixed with entirely how meticulously planned everything is.
That's interesting.
You get to the end and you're like, I'm not sure what the hell I just watched. I know I want to watch it again. And I know that was different than anything I've ever seen.
Right, right.
And
it's like a perfect deconstruction of like a McDonald's hamburger or something like that. Like,
I guess. I don't know what you're going with that.
Well, you know what I mean? Like it's dirt filmmaking, but it's the highest level of preparation and making sure it, like, you have to know exactly what you're doing in order to do this level of dirt. You know what I mean?
Yes. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. And so I've been doing research on these guys. Like, I've become a legit fan of these two cats, man. And they're doing he's going to do another biopic. He did, like I said, he did Blackberry. He did an independent movie called like Operation Something where it's about the moon landing.
Okay.
His name's Matt Johnson. He's incredibly talented. He's the type of person you can tell he doesn't do coke, because if he did, it would just be a nightmare for him. Like, he's very, but they're very quick-witted. The other guy, Jay, is like, he's a whiz on the piano, and they do everything from like, they'll just start playing the Chrono Trigger theme. And like at the very end of the movie, when you beat the game Chrono Trigger, it's an old second Super Nintendo. It's like one of the greatest role-playing games of all time. It's about time travel. If you stay through the credits, they just rip off the ending like sequence, but it's just a set of the world of Chrono Trigger. It's the exact same theme, but it's just the digitized version of Toronto.
And that's funny.
These guys are living in every bit of like our nerd reality and then just putting it on film. Like, what are we a fan of?
So that's cool. That's cool.
I honestly believe that even if you walk away and go, I didn't find that funny, I think this movie is worth watching just as a study case.
Okay.
And I found
for the level of filmmaking that it takes in terms of it's okay. I follow that.
And so there are two scenes that I would be hard pressed for somebody to not find funny. They recreate 2008 and one of the guys doesn't get it until they go watch The Hangover, and I'll let you figure out
okay,
what that is.
But right. Yeah.
But it's like, it's genuinely very funny. And so this idea that it can be this improvisational, this like real, also like we're literally going to have people skydive off the you know, Canadian whatever it is, the sea tower, whatever,
right?
And like all these weird things go on with a backdrop of ripping off Back to the Future beat for beat,
sure,
minus like sleeping with your mom. It's
right, right, right. Well, that's the whole point of the movie. Then what are we losing?
So yeah, so I would recommend, it's called Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie.
Okay,
yeah, check it out, man.
What do you rate it?
Be honest, I'll rate it bold filmmaking.
Oh,
bold filmmaking. All right. Really, really. I really am a fan. And the more I learn about these cats, the more I'm like, damn, I kind of want to see this again.
Okay, so, okay, okay.
If your like review of a movie is like, would I see that again right now? For me, the answer is yes.
Cool. That's a ring endorsement.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
Well, my brother, got one more question for you.
Yes, sir.
What else you been watching?
Oh, my brother, I'm so glad you asked. Uh-huh. And I am going to go through this one quick because I said we are on a strict time schedule.
Quickly, quickly. There's no time. Quick enough.
I watched, what is it called? Good luck. Have fun. Don't die.
So I had to check his notes real quick.
Yeah, I wanted to get the order right. I said it incorrect on the short. Starring Sam Rockwell. It is the Gore Verbinski movie. It is okay. About AI coming to take over and Sam Rockwell going back in time to a very specific diner to find the correct combination of people that can defeat.
So it's like AI. A reverse Terminator kind of thing?
Yeah. I mean, you can parallel it to a lot of time travel movies, but it's really not like any of them.
Okay.
Every course he goes on is different. You know what I mean? Every time he brings a different combination of people, he gets a different outcome. And okay. So he goes back and tries again and tries again and tries again. And eventually he convinces him he has a bomb is the only reason why people go, but not amazing. You figure out pretty quick. It's just the time travel button when he starts to foil the plan, he hits it and goes back.
Just bails.
Yeah, I mean, he has to. He's tasked with saving the human race.
Okay.
And so this movie, it's really different. It's a lot of fun. It kind of, as the you go on through the movie, you learn why everyone is there. And they don't do it with every single character. He brings multiple characters. Not all of them get like this Slumdog Millionaire-esque, like they'll have some bit of information.
Right.
And okay. He's like, and he kind of shakes him. I'm like, Juno Temple, who was in Ted Lasso as Keely. Mm-hmm. She plays a pretty major role. He's like, how did you know that? Like, who sent you? You know, and everyone is potentially out to stop him from completing this mission. He's probably
because they might be AI bots.
It could be AI sending people back from the future. He just doesn't know. He doesn't really trust anyone.
Sure. The rules of time travel and who you can trust are very wibbly wobbly.
Yeah. And you can tell some of this has gone horribly awry, and they explain many situations in which it has. There's only three ways to escape the diner: front, back, and side. And he explains in each of them, bad things happen. Shit, you go happens. Out the front, okay. It don't end well. You know?
Right. Okay.
There's a chance we go out this way, and so. It only does one run. It kind of hints at previous ones, but you really go through. I think this is his 117th time doing it. And so okay. You start and finish with that. I will not spoil the last 5 minutes because that I'm going to say some things otherwise that are not necessarily going to spoil it plot line wise, but there's going to be a little bit of it. But okay. The last 5 minutes. So this goes on and eventually they have to get to this house where this 9-year-old kid is the godfather of AI. Right. Mm. And it's a weird movie. It's almost in the sense of like the movie Sorry to Bother You. I don't know where it has like equestrian people at the end. Like,
right.
It takes that type of pivot.
It takes a weird spin.
And then it keeps going. And so it's going to lose people at certain points when it takes that weird. For those that don't know, we're talking about the movie Sorry to Bother You. They introduce horse people at the end. And that's kind of just the end of the movie. This one introduces a weird pivot. And then you have like another 30 minutes worth of movie.
Okay.
And part of it is making fun of bad AI prompts back when like AI prompts weren't really good at generating. I mean, we created a whole D&D campaign off of Goblins. You know what I mean? Kind of based off of it. You know?
Right.
But and so some of it's just wild stuff that's going to appear like a cat will potentially eat someone or whatever it may be. I'm not going to spoil all of it for you, but confetti gets sprayed, as I've mentioned. It's really wild. And so that kind of goes on into like they finally do get to the end boss or whatever. And then it's a little long winded. And then they stick the landing with this final twist. And you're like, oh, nice. Because Sam Rockwell's been warning you, this AI, he's not going to destroy you. What he's going to offer you is everything you've ever wanted. But it's not real, right? And so you got to remember.
It's like any image you can think of, anything you want to see all that can conjure. Like,
his whole hook is like, I can take the pain away.
Sure.
This is whole hook.
Right. Hey, you want to talk to your dead grandma that you haven't, you know, or hey, you want to look like you're the stud of your dreams or.
Yeah, I've created a utopia.
Hey, look, I brought your dad back from buying that gallon of milk.
Yeah, I've created a utopia. It's just not real. So that's Sam Rockwell's big thing is like, no matter what this happens, like, stay on your toes, stay on your toes. So you got to remember that throughout the movie. But in terms of like, this is clearly by title alone, trying to be in like the everything, everywhere, all at once category.
Sure. Okay.
That movie I just said is better because that movie's like a masterpiece.
Sure.
This one is really good and it is really different. And it is, again, would I want to watch it again? Yes. Is it, there's a lot of messages going at once. There's a lot. And I will say it does get messy at times. It is not like a perfect clean, like I understood everything.
Sure. A little cluttered.
It's not only cluttered, but it's messy sometimes.
Okay.
And it doesn't take away from the overall. So again, I would not say this is a perfect movie. This is a great movie though, right?
Awesome.
And so
okay.
I feel like I'm building a scale that I'm not supposed to be using in terms of reviews. But I'm trying to be honest with you and where it's at. There are flaws, and it's gonna turn some people off. You're gonna go, okay, that's enough. I had no problem with the time travel,
just weird
save the future.
Twists and turns and plot devices and
stuff
like that.
And how that's everything fun. Melds together, why everyone there and the roles they play. It's comical, it's bitingly satirical, and it's clearly like, hey, we are messing with, the message is like, clearly we're messing with forces that AI that we really don't understand.
Sure.
Which is needs to be said, and also you can see that, you know, AI is taking a lot of things that, like, I think Gore Verbinski in an interview, you know, right when you watch a movie and it knows that you watch the movie, it's going to feed you a bunch of stuff about the movie. And I watched a short about him saying, like, yo, I have no problem with AI. I understand that, you know, it's coming whether I like it or not, but, like, I want it to, you know, do the things like solving cancer, some of the more menial tasks, not take away the art, not take away our perspective.
Sure.
That's the one thing I get upset about is people rely on AI for their perspective. That is yours and yours alone.
Hey, ChatGPT, I'm really thinking about, should I ask this girl out? And it's like, sure, go for it.
Yeah.
Should I find out her address and where she works and bring her flowers? Sure, go for it.
Yeah,
it's like, let's fucking...
And I don't even want to get into like the environmental cause, the right, wrong of AI on that scale, but it is a problem.
Massive data mining farms where
like I said, I don't want to get into it, but
because they're listening.
I know. But, this is one worth watching for sure, man. And Sam Rockwell he can carry anything for 2 hours. You feel the length on this one. Again, it gets kind of sloppy and a little bit of time. You're like, where am I at? And it's just some of the, and without getting into it, like there's a third act and then there's a last 5 minutes of the third act. And that last 5 minutes, you're like, oh, this is it. This is what's up.
Okay.
So stick with it. Enjoy it.
I would watch Sam Rockwell make out with my girlfriend. He's amazing in everything.
He's a first round, like when we started the Wall of Fame, we were like backlogged. Some people were like, well, Sam Rockwell, of course, John Leguizamo, like he was like, no question.
First round pick, you know?
Yeah. So if you're a fan of him, he does not disappoint. It's a very...
Does he dance in this movie?
Yes, but not... He's pretty nimble on his feet the whole time.
Okay.
And it's funny because he was described... Because
you know I love watching Sammy Rockwell cut a rug.
Yeah, he does, but he doesn't. He's pretty well choreographed in this. But I think the director described him as... and again, me watching behind-the-scenes stuff. And I'm not going to pretend like I know this. Why I like our show is I can aggregate information from other stuff. We just like to talk about movies. Remember that?
Yeah.
But he said something about at first Sam Rockwell was playing him too cool. And he's like, remember, coming from the future... You are the least qualified person to be doing this.
Sure. Okay.
And so that once I saw that, he is very smart because he does have a hell of an advantage. The dialogue he uses to convince people is so funny. He's like, because he pretty much said, look, I can do a bunch of parlor tricks to show you all that I am from the future and you're going to call the cops. Or some of you can just come up and believe me.
Sure.
Right.
Right.
And he does a couple of the parlor tricks.
I've done the song and dance long enough to know, like, what it's going to take to cut through all the bullshit.
And so the unearned confidence he does come into the diner with is fun. Yeah.
Okay.
Almost every time you see it. So it's very funny.
Just undeserved ego in terms of like, all right, here's the deal.
I'm just like, let's cut to the chase. And he's not even trying to be cool. He's just trying to like get to the point.
Right. We're on a time crunch. Yeah.
Like we are here at What You've Been Watching.
That's right.
So, I will rate that movie, aluminum foil and tubes and some like weird battery packs being the high point of fashion in the future.
All right.
Because you don't know.
Sure.
You don't know. So, on that note, we do have a pretty hard out that we got to make.
That's
so,
about that time.
Yeah. Again, go to our Facebook page, go to our Instagram, get the brackets, fill them out legibly. Legibly. I cannot understand your garbled handwriting.
That's right.
Send an email with that filled out to whatyoubeenwatchingpodcast@gmail.com. Every single person you list correct that advances is worth 1 point. If you get the winner, that is 2 points.
That's correct.
Person who has the most points will win a super rad prize. So again, write us in at whatyoubeenwatchingpodcast@gmail.com.
And again, you have until March 31st at midnight,
yeah,
the day that the first bracket drops, that the day that the first episode drops, no longer accepting submissions at, if you submit it at 12:01, shit out of luck.
Yep. So anyways, we love y'all. Make me regret. I want so many submissions that I regret giving that email out because I'm going to have to do them by hand if you handwrite them. Right. I'm going to work on a spreadsheet for y'all, but you won't follow the rules anyway. So make me regret this. All right. We love y'all. In the meantime, in between time, we recommend that you go watch a movie
and talk about.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Got it with somebody that you love.
And get some sugar-free sodas.
Sugar-free sodas.
In the meantime.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
My name is Mackenzie, and I started a GoFundMe for the adoptive mother of a nonverbal autistic child. The mother had lost her job because she wasn't able to find adequate care for this autistic child. So she really needed some help with living expenses, paying some back bills. So I launched a GoFundMe to help support them during this crisis. And we raised about $10,000 within just a couple of months. I think that the surprising thing was by telling a clear story and just like really being very clear about what we needed, we had some really generous donations from people who were really moved by the situation that this family was struggling with.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This podcast is supported by GoFundMe.